So, what is definition of the informal seminar? What is the difference?
You don't get introduced.
That's all. No, I think that this is one difference. But another difference, I expect that less people, more questions. Okay, so, frankly speaking, I should tell that I had a very serious problem of making random selection of my transparencies. And I have many transparencies, and of course I have much to discuss, which problems which I would like to discuss. But the time is restricted, so then this is, you can see that this is some random, and you can interrupt if you will see that this is not interesting. Just let me know. I switch to more interesting problems. Okay. So, what I will be speaking about. So, I am going just to discuss isolated systems of interacting mainly Fermi particles, but the approach works also for Bose particles, and the main point is, the starting point is, the Hamiltonian can be written in this form, where H0 can be split into forms, in this form, into pieces. H0 stands for the non-interacting particles, sum of non-interacting particles, describes system without interaction. And V stands for the two-body interaction, which is complex enough, I mean just complicated, to produce chaos in the total Hamiltonian. And this scheme is very standard in mean field approximation to atoms, to nuclear physics. For example, there is a famous SD shell model in nuclear physics, and this procedure is just you have to introduce mean field and to write quasi-particles and just quasi-levels, so arrange mean field H0, and the rest is so-called residual interaction. And this procedure is not well-defined, because you can find one representation of mean field or other. So, however, the main point is that you should do this in such a way that in V there is no very strong regular motion, I would say, regular terms. So this is the meaning of mean field. Just you select and you H0 absorbs just some regular motion, and V stands for the producing some complexity in quantum systems. Yeah.
So will you be assuming generally that this V is only two-body interactions, not
yes,
three or four?
Yes. Okay. Only two. This means that standard random matrix theory may not work, and I will show this. So then H0 is can be written as a sum of the Hamiltonians, for example, in some cases, where n is number of non-interacting particles or quasi-particles. V stands for two-body interaction. And we would like to discuss the general approach for for the possibility when we can describe the system in a statistical way, when statistical equilibrium appears in the system due to interaction between particles. I would like to stress that this approach works both for systems with classical limit and without classical limit, for dynamical or for random, because this is a general approach. Again, I would like to stress something more important, that n number of particles is finite and typically small, because in many applications, number of particles really is small. This is not number of particles, all particles, but number of particles or quasi-particles above Fermi level. So, for example, in cerium atom, when they arrange mean fields, so there is only four particles in outer shell, and they take into account this interaction between four electrons, and this is mean field. In SD model, this shell model in nuclear physics, they have 6 particles and 12 orbitals. And this is real physics. I would like to stress that when we have small number of particles here, 4, 2, 4, 10, up to 10. So this is real physics. And this is why there are many interesting questions and problems arise. So we have finite isolated systems of finite number of particles. There is no heat bath. And so then the question is whether we can describe this statistically or not. First question. If we can, we have to ask what are conditions for this. Okay, there is the whole set of these questions. But then if you know that we can arrange statistical approach, then the question arises for methods for this description. And then, of course, if we can do this, if conditions are fulfilled and we use this method, so then what are properties? So, of course, I have not time to discuss all these type of questions. I would like to discuss mainly thermalization and onset of thermalization and complexity. This is first part. And second part, this is new results. New results is just time dependence of such systems. What is the wave packet evolution? What is the entropy? How entropy increases in time? And so on. So this is very, I would say that results which belong to this, this is, they are done in the last century. And this is this century. So because this is this year, and many results which, millennium if you like, yeah. And many results general, so then there are many questions, 96, 96, and so on. There are many papers. There are now big list here. But I start with just some brief discussion of main results of the first part, and then go to more specific results for time dependence in the second part of my talk. So, then let's assume that interaction between particles strong enough in the sense that it produces very strong complexity, we call chaos, in eigenstates, and eigenstates can be treated as pseudorandom or chaotic in the sense that eigenstates, exact eigenstates, can be expanded in the unperturbed basis, and components of this expansion. There are many components in eigenstate, and they are pseudorandom, they can be treated as random variables. And this is realistic, again, situation in a cerium atom, which is known to be just chaotic atom. It's about 100, 150, these components. In nuclear physics, this is 10 to 4, 10 to 5. So this is just what I would like to discuss. Excited compound states. Compound in the sense that they are constructed from a large number of principal components in some in the basis. And this is this basis is the basis for non-interacting particles. This is standard representation.
In Slater determinants.
Yes.
Case of Slater determinants.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, if you take Fermi particle, yes, that's it. It's Slater determinant. Yeah.
So far it's completely general, but what is the restriction? Why you were saying you're assuming what that C, these C's are random or what?
No, no, can be treated as random or pseudo-random. And I have not time to discuss this because there is the basic question, first question, what are conditions? And there is a big literature, so interaction between two-body interactions should be large enough compared to matrix elements for the interaction between particles, for V, should be larger than the mean spacing between many body states which are coupled directly by two-body interaction. So this was briefly discussed in Shapelyansky talk some days ago. And let's assume that interaction is strong enough and complex enough, and so we can use this approach.
Yeah, but still, this C case, what I'm assuming that they are about the same order of magnitude for all cases. This is
No. I assume.
Or you cut out some.
I assume that if you take typical eigenstate and you plot this Cn squared, and this is basis unperturbed, so they look like this, with some envelope of energy, a number of principal components. Number of principal components, okay, square root, much larger than one.
but much smaller than the
basis can, basis can be infinite. It doesn't matter, because typically atoms, molecules, and clusters, and nucleus, so spectrum is infinite. However, this is always finite, because interaction is always of finite range. Interaction cannot connect the whole spectrum in realistic systems.
And would another way of expressing that condition be to say that you are far outside of the perturbative regime? The perturbation theory.
No. This is just above perturbation region. This is first wrong.
But still, this is the crucial assumption, because it's not.
Yeah, but we know.
Right for everything.
No, it's not assumption. It's not assumption. We know when it is correct. This is the point, and this is correct when we write a typical value of matrix elements divided by mean level spacing between directly coupled states, and if this is larger than one, much larger. Actually, is transition is quite sharp when the number of particles large. And this is condition when we have the situation which I'm going to discuss. Okay?
Okay, I take your word for
this. Okay. Yeah, because I have no possibility to discuss the all problems. We agreed that we are working in such high level, I would say, density and for excited states when eigenstates or compound states can be treated as chaotic one. And let's write now the main interest of our just now is occupation number distribution. Let's write quantity which gives you probability that one of our particles sits, occupies orbital, single particle orbital S. And we write this for specific exact eigenstate. We take specific exact eigenstates of total Hamiltonian, and we can ask the question, what is the distribution of occupation number which corresponds to this specific eigenstate? Before, there is no any average. There is no any assumption of chaos. I wrote just here standard quantum mechanical expression, and it's correct for any model, which is just representation, matrix elements, diagonal matrix elements of the occupation number operator in some basis. That's all. So, and look what is important here, and this is the key point for our discussion. So what is here? This is exact representation, so it can be written in terms of these components of eigenstates. And this is components of eigenstates. What is this? This is diagonal matrix elements in the basis representation. For Fermi particles, this is O0, O1. For Bose particles, this is 1, 0, 1, 2, and so on, up to number of particles. Because this means that if basis states occupied by so, this is 1, and if not occupied, this is 0. This is just definition, or also occupation number distribution in the basis states representation. So now look what we have. We have two quantities, this one, which is completely, I would say, quantum, and this one also is now still quantum, but let's see what happens. In the spirit of statistical mechanics, we have to average this, because what they say, so occupation number distribution has physical sense when you take the small window of energy and average in this small window of energy. So then let's take the small window of energy and let's average this around number of exact eigenstates for this small energy window. So then what arrives here, this is we are interested in this way. Now if these components can be treated as pseudorandom and so on, we can see that what is important for this representation is envelope, because when we average eigenstates, chaotic eigenstates, what will be the rest? The rest will be this envelope. And this is the key point. I can do this procedure when and only when eigenstate can be treated as chaotic, in the sense that I neglect correlations between components inside eigenstates, assuming that there are many of these components. So that's all. This is the key point now, as you can see. So we don't need to know all eigenstates. We need to know this function. And this function is smooth function. So let's call this function f function. And this, if you know this function, so we, this is trivial part, and we know this function, so then we can construct this one.
So just to understand what you just said, are you saying that that envelope function looks the same
in energy
for all the eigenstates, or for many eigenstates?
No, for eigenstates in a small energy window, because you change small, but there is of course dependence, global dependence on energy. When we go far, so this is more broad and so on. When we go to down to ground states, there are less and so on, and we go to the region where this doesn't work.
But if you go from one eigenstate to another within the same energy window, it has the same envelope.
Yes. Yeah, this is standard statistical, let's say. Yeah, this is because chaotic eigenstates looks the same if you change slightly, if you go from one to another. Global dependence is different story.
Okay.
So we select, this is some, I would say, averaging, procedure of averaging, which is fast variables and weak. Okay, now, this is general for many systems which we discuss, but many results, it's better to illustrate using some model, which is random matrix model, which is famous so-called two-body random interaction model, which also was discussed by Dima a few days ago. And this is representation of this model. This stands for the mean field, and this stands for the interaction. And we take into account that only two-body interaction here, and we are just matrix elements for two-body interaction. So we have two-body interaction matrix elements. Let's assume that they are completely random, for simplicity. Completely random two-body matrix elements, independent, and take Gaussian distribution. So this doesn't matter that all these matrix elements in many-body representation, completely uncorrelated random. Now this is a different story. What I'm saying, we start from single particle physics. And two-body matrix elements are random, but this, we don't know what is, no, we know, but what I'm saying, it still doesn't matter, doesn't mean that matrix elements, the sum is completely random. Okay, no question?
So you're assuming that this V out of beta gamma delta?
This is random.
Yeah, they are random and independent.
Yeah, variables.
But why? I mean, it's not, it's clear that they are expressed in terms of the same wave function, so.
No, that's
just some inter-
no, this is single particle physics. This is not like wave functions of V is matrix elements.
Well, I can write them as integrals or?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have alpha, beta, yes, gamma, delta, and these matrix elements for two-body interaction, yes, assumed.
So if two elements have the same, have common indices, then they're clearly correlated. You cannot say that they are
unrelated. Yes, of course. Using plus symmetry. Plus symmetry. I can change index this, but this depends on a specific model. This is standard model, which was invented.
Not only symmetry, even for different indices, wave functions, this single particle.
No, but this is assumption of the same type which is used in random matrix theory. They assume that this matrix element is complete. The question is when it can be applied to realistic atoms, so on, and this is a different question. It works very well for realistic systems like standard random matrix series, very often works quite good. So this model was invented very long ago in 1971. There are few results in this model until which related to the spectrum statistics and spectrum density of states, but for a long time it was, I would say, forgotten, this model, and since 1996 there is a big interest to this model because it describes a very quite generic effects of interaction. So let's come back to this model. I would like just to briefly to say that we have single particle states, we have random two volumetric elements, we fix number of orbitals, and we fixed number of particles. So we take this model, and so then we can construct matrix in many body representation, ask for eigenstates of this matrix, and this is exactly what we have discussed, this matrix compound states. And again, so typically it can be, not typically, it can be small. For in atom, this is 4 and this is 12. No, this is 6 and number of particles.
This single particle states, this H0 piece of the Hamiltonian, I should think of it as non-random, or this is also random?
Yes, this they assumed that they are random, but it is not very important, with fluctuations and whatever means level spacing between the zero. But this is actually not important. What is important is this parameter, and this parameter. So now let's discuss main results, which I will going to discuss in terms of this model. So let's go to Fermi-Dirac distribution. And this is already a non-trivial question, because what I'm going to discuss? I'm going to discuss isolated systems, few particles, and I'm asking about Fermi-Dirac distribution. From point of conventional statistical mechanics, this is crazy, because it's just Fermi-Dirac distribution derived for infinite number of particles and for finite, no, it's for also for finite, but what is important, only with the presence of heat bath. If there is no heat bath, what we can say? And you can say, no, it's just garbage, you throw out, and so on. Yeah, you can say this, but I would like to describe really what happens in this system. And I know that there exists this distribution of occupation number. So what I'm doing, as my coworker Faust Bergano says, I'm a poor guy, I take the textbook, and I find that the expression for the for Fermi-Dirac distribution, I would like to solve and to apply to this model, and to see. Let's do this. So what we have to do? We have to solve these equations, where this is total number of particles, total energy. Okay, let's solve. And let's compare with our result. Of course, they don't correspond. Why? Because here, there is no interaction between particles. Our model has interaction between particles. And even more, we have to have this interaction between particles. Otherwise, we have no chaos. Otherwise, we cannot describe statistically. So even moreover, this interaction should be strong enough. The less particles, the stronger interaction should be. Number of particles goes to infinite, this interaction can goes to zero, and then we go to conventional statistical mechanics. This is why in statistical mechanics they say, no, we don't need interaction between particles. It is enough to have heat bath. And what is the role of heat bath? Heat bath just makes this chaos inside. But if number of particles small, so we need strong interaction. So then this obviously doesn't work. So we considered this analytically, this model, and we found that for interacting particles in these terms of this model, but it works also for other models, and we checked this, we have to solve this equation. We have to add here some term, which is increase of energy due to interaction. And so analytically, we derive this expression, which is very important, in our opinion. And this is the shift of energy. And look what is here. This is variance of the strength function, or the same local density of states. It's the same name. This is variance. And this is derivative of the unperturbed density of states. It's very simple. So for this model, we can analytically compute this this quantity analytically, because what is this? This is just a square of diagonal matrix elements for the fixed line. So we can solve this analytically exactly. So this in this model, density of states typically just is Gaussian, and this is also quite typical. So then what we can say, so we know, we can compute analytical, put here, and we can solve this equation, and we can find temperature, so-called temperature, and so-called chemical potential, and let's compare with numerical data. So numerical data, this is histogram. Circles, this is without taking into account the shift of energy, without taking into account interaction. And if you put this, so then you have good correspondence. I would like to stress that sometimes people say, when we solve these equations, this is fit. No, this is not the fit. This is solution of this equation. We cannot solve this analytically, we use computer, but the solution. There's no any fit, no three parameters. So we can solve this, that equation, and we can find temperature. We can find that there is good Fermi-Dirac distribution with temperature, so. You can say this is not temperature, okay. Let's call pseudo temperature if you like. But what is important from practical point of view, to describe what happens in the system due to interaction without diagonalization. Because this shift we can find without the diagonalization. Questions?
What is playing the role of temperature in this problem?
What?
Is there something that's playing an analogous role? You're not talking about any temperatures, but interaction is not playing the role of temperature.
This is, I would like to tell a few words more. Now let's come back. Because what is physical meaning of what we did? Why it works? And what happens? And the physical meaning is this, so that we have interaction between particles. And this interaction complex enough and produce chaos and so on. This means that we need global properties of this interaction. And global properties of this interaction are due to the width of strength function, because the width gives you how what is the number of coupled by this interaction. This is why this term depends on the global characteristics of interaction. And this is first. Second, what we can see, we can say that interaction between particles, which leads to kind of chaos, can be treated as an internal heat bath. This is statement, okay, suggestion. Why? Because the result is the same as we use external heat bath due to that interaction, and we can see that it works really as an internal heat bath. Okay, let's go on. Oh, I have to cut my transparencies. So let me check. This is, I would say, this is one of my results. Then I would like to stress something, that this shape of what we discussed, a function, has well-defined classical limit if our model has classical limit, if Hamiltonian is classical. I have no time to discuss how to do this, but it's very easy. You run Newton equation and you can find the shape of LDOS strength function and the shape of eigenstates. It's very easy, but again, what I'm saying, so we can discuss later. And it was checked really just on using dynamical system like this model, which was first started in 83 by Perez and Feingold. I have references there for details of it. So, two interacting spins, classical and quantum, we can treat. Particle in a ripple channel, which can be represented. It is an interesting model, because one particle in the ripple channel, in this billiard, with any surface, can be exactly represented as two particles interacting between each other in a flat channel. And randomness, or pseudo-randomness, of the boundary is embedded in interaction. That's interesting, this application. We can take two interacting particles in the box, or two coupled nonlinear oscillators, and we compare this. Very nice agreement. Very nice agreement between the shape of eigenstates and classical and quantum. For example, let's take the model two interacting spins, and we compute distribution. This is what is this? LDOS. So LDOS in the energy range, and two lines, classical and quantum. Quantum, we diagonalize quantum model, huge number of non-embedded states, and we compute classical. Very nice correspondence. And classically, it's very, very easy to do this. The same is for shape of eigenstates here. And you can see that for highly excited eigenstates, this correspondence is perfect. So now, if you come back to this expression, there is a very nice idea now. If you have this classical limit, we know that this quantity we can compute using classical mechanics, using Newton equation, and we can compute this shape classical. And this is pure quantum. So then you can immediately suggest that we can arrange a kind of semi-quantal approach. Take this piece from classical mechanics, and this is, you know, even you have 100 particles, interacting particles, to compute classically, so this shape is just 2 minutes on the very small computer. We did this with Faust Berganovi. And take this quantum, and this embeds, takes into account all symmetry, spectrum, untethered spectrum, whether it is Bose particles, and so on. And so then, what is interesting is that we don't need to diagonalize huge matrices. We take this from classical. This is very easy to compute from diagonal. And so we can find this distribution. And what I'm saying, so this is, again, I would like just to say this is very recent paper we did. And we checked this directly, how this semi-quantum approach works. It works even for ground state, it works. So there are many questions in this. So, but what I'm saying, this idea can be implemented directly, and so then it seems works quite good, and so maybe it's very important for future developments. So now let's go to the second part. And this second part is devoted to time dependence, how wave packets spreads in this model, how entropy increases, how return probability depends on time, just all kind of this standard question which are related to the time dependence. And in particular, time dependence of occupation numbers, which we have discussed here. So there are three papers on the subject, and I will briefly tell the main results. So now
Can we really express some physical quantities in terms of this occupation number?
Yeah. Okay, yes, of course. But this is physical. This is physical. No. Thermodynamic distribution, physical.
And usually we need the full density matrix
Nothing of the kind.
Only for non-interacting system we can formulate everything.
I understand this question, quite typical.
Of occupation numbers.
Let me now answer, okay? We take cerium atom, single cerium atom, and we compute this cerium atom directly from first principle. Can I ask about distribution occupation number for this specific atom? Of course, yes. So this is what we are doing. No density matrix, just only Hamiltonian.
But can you express the energy, for instance, excitation?
Yes, we can compute.
In terms of these numbers.
Not energy, of course. But we can, it is not well known that if we have these occupation numbers, so we can compute the mean value of single particle operator. Because typically, in many cases, just this is single mean value of single particle operator is expressed in this term. This is just directly quantum mechanical expression, where this is written in single particle basis, which is trivial part of physics because it is easy to compute. But this is not trivial because this is related to many particle physics. If you know this, and we know this, which is easy, so we can compute mean values of single particle operator. But what I'm saying, this is other story. If you are asking what is more interesting besides distribution occupation number, I say that you can compute mean value of single particle operators using this quantity. Okay, now let's go back. So, time dependence. Again, this is our system. F is basis states, states, eigenstates of H0. K is R exact states of total Hamiltonian. We take again this expansion. So then you know the standard expression. We can write time-dependent wave function. And first question that we can ask, what is the time dependence of the for return probability? Let's excite initial basis state due to interaction spreads, and we ask what is the probability to find system in this initial state. So this is, there are many papers very big interest to this. So we can write explicitly expression. And this expression, I would like to remind you, this is standard. So this expression is that amplitude for this, I would say, for initial excited state is just Fourier component of the strength function of the LDOS. So this means that if you know LDOS, so it is formally easy just to find this time dependence. So, and this LDOS P is just it's our a function which is represented. No, this is the LDOS represented in energy space. Okay, so what are results? Results for the strength results. So we need strength function. If you know strength function, you take Fourier and we can say what happens with this return probability. And what is the strength function, shape of this strength function in our that model which I described? It was just found numerically quite long ago, that this shape is changes from Lorentzian, and Lorentzian is known in solid state physics. This is just form, Lorentzian form of LDOS. This is standard in solid state physics, but in application to nuclear physics and so on, when residual interaction very strong, it changes with increase of interaction. This form changes from Lorentzian to Gaussian. This was shown analytically using this model exactly, but expression is quite complicated, and we suggested recently to use some phenomenological expression which changes from Lorentzian to Gaussian. So there are some details here, but what is important to know first, that with increase of interaction, LDOS can change from Lorentzian to Gaussian time. First. Second, we have to know when the region. And so this is the rule we can show that if you compute gamma according to Fermi-Golden rule, gamma, using density of states of directly coupled states, and if this gamma is less than width found from the second variance of the strength function, so then the form is really shape of this is Lorentzian.
I'm sorry, yeah. It's clear, but I don't quite understand. I don't understand why return probability is the Fourier transform of, because usually it is the Fourier transform of the correlation function psi squared, and not the variance. It's an inferior.
It's the staying probability, it's not the return probability. It's a staying probability.
Staying, I'm sorry, yeah, this is staying probability. No.
Okay,
I'm,
because yeah. The return probability...
No. Yes, yeah.
You have this is squared at one energy, psi squared...
This is definition. This is definition. This is I excite A0 in time, T0, and then I ask what is the probability to find system in the same initial state. Return probability. Yeah.
No.
Staying probability. Okay? So then if this gamma, which using the Fermi-Golden rule, is less than the second moment, square root of second moment of strength function, so this is Lorentzian. But if this gamma compared to delta E, so this is no more Lorentzian, and this is just closer to Gaussian. This is just the rule. And using this rule, using this tool, so then we can derive what is really the time dependence for this quantity. And the main result is, for small time, we have always, I would say, 1 minus t squared dependence, independently on the form. For small time, you expand and so this like this. But for large time, this is trivial result, but for large time, what was found, it was, it is non-trivial, I would say. The result for large time, we can show that if the shape of string function is Gaussian, so then we have exponential decay tails, exponential, which is conventional result. People know everyone. So this just good. But the factor, prefactor, this constant prefactor, turns out to be, it can be very large, exponentially large, and we found this prefactor. So this is standard, I would say, time dependence. But look, if gamma is larger than delta E, so this factor, prefactor, is very large. So it may have some practical consequences, and my work may be important in practical application. Now, the main interest, of course, not the main, but the other interest is what is dependence of time dependence of wave packet. We have to find all other, I would say, components. How other components probability and other components decay in time. To describe this analytically, we created some phenomenological theory, which is based on the cascade model, which actually was suggested in the paper 97, Altschuler, Kamenin, Geffen, and Leventhal. So this is due to two-body interaction. We have the spectrum. This is many-body spectrum. But each level, for example, N0 level, which we excite initially, coupled with, not with all on the first stage, but only with those which are the direct coupling of two-body interaction. So then this means that how dynamics goes. So we excite this, it goes first. Probability flies here, but then here, and we can write this tree, I would say. So first class, this is then second class, the third class, and so on. And we can write dynamics for this model. So decrease of this probability is minus gamma, because gamma is, let's take situation when we have Lorentz W. For second class, we have incoming and outcoming, and just flow, and so on, so on, infinite. And what is interesting, that we can solve this analytically. And we can find analytical expression. This expression is here. This is probability for simple case when we have Lorentzian. And this is for double, for any, I would say, other components. This is auto dependence. So using this, and this can be compared with Kelly tree model, which was used in that paper. So we can compare with this Kelly tree model, but what are assumptions in this? We assume that this is infinite chain, of course, because then we can analytical solve. And we assume that a number of classes, you know, this each time there is a, I would say, coupling which is much larger than one. So then here, what is here, I should tell, that M number of states directly coupled by two-body interaction, K labels the kth class, 1, 2, 3, and so on, and NK is number of basis states in the kth class. So when we use this, we have expression analytical, and now we can use this analytical expression for our quantities. What is the first quantity we can discuss? The first quantity is how number of components in packets depends on time. Because first it is one component, then spreads, and so then you can move. Let's define number of components due to inverse participation ratio, as typically people use in solid state physics. So we should compute this quantity. So then using this expression, so on, using this analytical expression, we can find exact expression. And from this exact expression, we can derive some approximate expression. And this is quite simple. This is inverse participation ratio, inverse number of principal components in the packet, which is expressed directly by W0, which is stain probability, and number of principal components for the infinite time. So we have simple expression, and now let's check how it works numerically. So amazingly, look, this is correspondence is very, very good. We took 6 particles, 12 orbitals, and we plotted in time this quantity, number of principal components. And so numerics is a full line, and theory is dashed line. So look, we have quite good correspondence even with this, I would say, here. Here, of course, because this is for large time, so we didn't take in this simple expression everything, so, but it works, even here gives correctly this form. What is interesting here, I would like to discuss a few minutes later, what is the meaning of this, I would say, quasi-periodicity. It's very interesting. Oh, maybe right now discuss. So what is the meaning of this? So there is a big return flux. And this is due to finite number of classes. Because in our model, we have N6 at 12, so we have not infinite chain in this class, but we have about 3 steps, 3 classes. And there is a flow reflection in this representation. So energy goes to the end, and then reflects and goes. And so we can analytically estimate this very simple, and it shows very fast. So we have interesting, I would say, oscillations, damping oscillations. But this oscillation happens not in the basis representation in the Hilbert, but in the classes. So it means that first packet spreads, there are holes in this. These holes are filled, but then again holes appear. You understand? Sparsity increases, and this is, in a sense, this is sparsity. It characterizes the sparsity of eigenstate, of wave packet. So, and finally, let's go to the entropy. We can compute entropy of the wave packet, which characterizes that just some characteristic how spreads wave packet. So, this is standard definition of, for, I would say, for sequence. So we use this definition, and this is exact expression. Then using our exact expression, we can derive again something. We can have analytical final expression, which is written here. This is very interesting expression, because what is here? There's 1 plus function. Each function is less than 1. Not very much less, but less than 1. And in some cases, we can neglect. If we neglect this, we have a very simple expression. Look, what happens? Entropy is proportional to time with gamma, which is okay. And square and logarithm of m, where m is number of directly coupled states in the base representation, number of non-zero matrix elements in the line. We can use more simple expression, approximate expression, which is valid for small number of classes. And let's compare again numerically. And so look what happens. So this is written, this is shifted just for to compare. Here we have always T square, this analytical can be shown. Entropy increases T square for small time. But then we have very nice just correspondence of the slope with analytical. So this is analytical shifted here. Yes. So this analytical shifted here, and so you can see quite good correspondence linear increase. Analytical explained. And then we have saturation. And so you can say that this is, now this is first interesting, and we have to discuss a little bit this, because immediately you can say, look, if this system has classical limit, then you can suggest, not suggest, but it was found, well, it was found numerically for some system in classical limit that entropy increases linearly and proportional coefficient is entropy, dynamical Kolmogorov, yes, entropy, Lyapunov exponent in classical system. This question is still open. What happens? Because there is no proof. It's not clear when it is correct, when it is not, when it happens linearly, so on. But what I'm saying, there is correspondence to some classical results. And then the naive idea is, okay, if this is linear, so you can introduce quantum Lyapunov exponent. And this is, I would say, some not clear what we are doing, because our system has no classical limit. However, we can see that we can introduce this, and there are still many interesting questions, how to explain this, how to derive, and so on. But I would like just to say that there is an interesting question here about the meaning of this linear increase. However, I would like to stress that linear increase, this happens, and very good correspondence to linear increase only when L-DOS strength function is close to the Gaussian. If we take situation parameters when it is close to the Breit-Wigner Lorentzian, so on the big scale you can say that this is again a linear increase, linear. But on a small scale, this is linear, and this is what happens just numerical data, and a full line, this is theoretical. You can see it is not linear, actually. So what I'm saying, one should be careful about linear increase entropy, and we don't know when and why, and what region it is linear, and if it is not linear, why it is so on, so on. Maybe here we should compare with some people use so-called Salis entropy and so on, but this is open question. And finally, one more interesting question, again, about time dependence of the distribution of occupation number. We excited some state. In the center, for example, let's for simplicity take state, basis state at the center of the spectrum, which is symmetric spectrum. And so then, initially, this means that some single particle levels, they have zero, other part have one, because this is zero. So one, zero, so on. And then we ask, what is time dependence of specific occupation level for specific single particle level? So then, again, there is some simple analytical expression, stain probability, single particle level, and if you take our data for 6 particles and 12 orbitals, so this is 1/2, we have simple expression analytical, and let's compare what happens, and we can see. If you have Gaussian form of the strength function, those levels, single particle, which that have had before just 1, they decay to 1/2. Those had zero, they increase to 1/2, because temperature in this center of the spectrum, temperature is infinite, and Fermi-Dirac distribution should be constant flat. We just suffer simplicity. And look how good correspondence between theory and numerical data, and we can immediately estimate, in, you know, analytically characteristic time when we have this equilibrium, when distribution is of the Fermi-Dirac in time. But this is for Gaussian. If you take Breit-Wigner form, so the situation is more delicate. However, theory and experiment, numerical experiment, corresponds to each other quite well. And theory also shows these oscillations, which are of the same, which I discussed, this oscillation. And you can see that unset of thermalization, we still didn't define what is thermalization here. Now we have to define, because we can see clearly that there is transition to Fermi-Dirac distribution. So we can define that the, I would say roughly it is this time, but it depends also whether we in the Breit-Wigner regime or in so on. We may have 2 time scale or many time scale when we approach to statistical equilibrium. So I would say that that's all. Thank you. Questions?
So let's take, for instance, this cerium.
Cerium, yes.
You have four electrons in the outer shell, and you treat the rest in the mean field, which you already have approximation.
Yeah.
But then, in atomic physics, they're usually interested in the energy levels of this atom, the matrix element, which define the transition between levels. But here, can you say anything about this?
About what?
About this quantity. Like, what is the spectrum of the cerium atom? What are the matrix elements which define dipole transitions?
No, our interest is not in the matrix elements. Our interest is not in matrix elements. Our interest in the quantities which are related to single particle physics. And first question. No, you say that there are many other questions. I agree with you. But first, our interest question is, what is the distribution of occupation now? It is Fermi-Dirac or not? We don't know, but we know when it is Fermi-Dirac, and we can indicate the region of parameter when it is Dirac. For Fermi, for cerium atom, it is not Fermi-Dirac, by the way, because single particle levels, they have big gaps, and so they are not homogeneous in single particle states. But they computed recently gold atom. And for gold atom, they computed for high excited states, they computed distribution of command. This is perfect Fermi-Dirac. So the question is, when it is Fermi-Dirac, when it is not? If it is Fermi-Dirac, how to compute temperature analytically? Okay. Second question, which is, if it is not Fermi-Dirac, what is this? And we have analytical expression which allows to analytically find this, because this is exactly the same whether we take shape of eigenstate of function, and we take convolution with a single particle this operator and so on, and we can solve this analytically, and we did this, for example, in some cases. So, and we can find distribution of occupation number even when it is very far from the Dirac distribution. So, what is the situation? Situation is that we have statistical equilibrium, because everything just can be described statistically, and there is transition in time to this equilibrium. But this equilibrium is not conventional, not standard Fermi-Dirac distribution, and we can compute this analytical first. Second, as I told you, we can use this Fermi-Dirac occupation number distribution to compute some value, some mean values of some single particle operators. But in direct computation of cerium atom, gold atom, they compute everything because they start from so. This theory, of course, can give answer for global quantities, not for local.
But like an experiment, something can be tested experimentally.
Yes, exactly. They tested this. They used this model to cerium atom application. They used the same parameters, which I saw, and they found in the model that number of principal components is about 100, and they have fluctuations, Gaussian fluctuation, and they computed directly cerium atom, and they found exactly the same.
So what kind of experiment was it?
Numerical experiment. Numerical experiment. They computed eigenstates, and they computed in to what extent they are random. And they computed that there is an envelope, and they searched what are fluctuations about this envelope, and they found very good Gaussian distribution. So, what I'm saying, this is, and this corresponds to this model, I would say. It's quite a good correspondence. And not only model, but I would say a general approach. Yeah?
You have this U graph for non-monotonic time dependence of staying in comparison with simulation. I don't understand how the theory you describe can be non-monotonic time dependence.
how theory describes?
The theory you describe, I don't understand how this theory can, in principle.
You say that, okay, because this, we use tricks so that we computed double staying probability, we computed numerically and put it in this expression. But if you ask about analytical this, the so on, analytical expression.
Can you show this view graph?
We can use this, but it's...
Maybe the earlier one.
Yeah, okay. For the number of principal complexes, yeah? Like this, yeah? But if you ask about behavior of staying probability, I have not your graph, but it behaves like that. Oh, sorry. So, it goes like that, but then... in the same places. This is double U of T.
This is theory for numerics.
No, it's numerical. Theory, in the theory you cannot describe this.
Right.
You can, of course, yeah. For theory...
Then what the theory curve here means? What kind of theory is it?
I understand. Question, sir. We have analytical expression for this quantity, yes, which depends on, okay, yes. Here, if we put analytical expression, so of course we have not this, quasi-predis, but here, what we did here, we computed this numerically and put it here. That's all. Just to show that there is a self-consistent expression, that this quantity is entirely defined by this quantity and this. That's all. But if you ask analytical form, just don't use it at all, numerical. So, of course, this we cannot describe for this quantity this quasi-previous.
So you're using your numerics,
yes,
to test this
relation, and this relation has the meaning that this quantity, global quantity, which is for all, so depends mainly, basically, on the this extent. But you know, if you have string function, compute this string function just numerically, and that's all, and put here. And
in numerics, you want to work with Fermi's particles or with
Fermi, only Fermi.
And we have considered the state from which the starting state is it the ground state or excited state or what?
No, excited. It's just in the center of the spectrum. We took.
So it's highly excited state.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course, it for ground state it doesn't work because eigenstates are not chaotic. Mm-hmm. So, if no questions, I switch off.